Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday, everyone. Well, I hope you had a wonderful weekend, and I'm sure there were some awesome celebrations going on for Mother's Day with friends and family. I know that last night I saw so many beautiful social media posts that were just truly inspiring, not just to mothers, but I think to all women. You know, I don't think that you necessarily have to have a child of your own to have a mother's heart. Most of us are, you know, we're caregivers, we're love givers by our very nature and instincts, and many persons have experienced that care and love that come from us. Yep, you don't have to have a child of your own. In fact, none of us are truly childless as long as there are children on this earth. I believe that, and I salute every single one of us for that gift that is in us to nurture. I wish all of you the best and the most blessed of life and times going forward. Well, you know, we had a great show today. You know, many people are looking for jobs, and it's a very competitive marketplace regardless of the position you are seeking. The job hunt itself can be a pretty grueling one, and once the calls come in for the interviews, you know, that's going to take some work as well, getting prepared, doing research, role-playing, practicing, and visualizing interviews and stuff like that, you know, so that you can feel confident and make that interview go as flawless as possible. Today we are going to talk about that, how to give a stellar interview with my guest, trainer, author, and speaker, Jeff Percival. Jeff is an expert in this area. He holds seminars regularly to help the unemployed toward employment, and he's also the author of Work Makes Me Sick and Your Combination for Success. I'm so happy to have him on the Foxology stage today. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, good morning, Silver, and happy Mother's Day to you. Belated.
Well, thank you very, very much. Loud and proud. Yeah, I am a mom. Some days I believe that, and some days I'm thinking, okay, am I really? These are some big kids. Yeah, I am. Thank you, Jeff. Well, I think we are going to be talking about something that's truly always relevant. I don't think that this kind of information ever becomes stale or stagnant, because people are looking for jobs, and sometimes they just really don't know all of the best things to do. And I know that you often work with groups that you are helping in that area. What are some of the things they talk about to you, Jeff, as far as their own feelings of you know, things they need help with?
Well, actually, some folks who have been around a long time, have been working at the same job for a long time, really don't have the practice of interviewing. You know, you've been working in the same place for, you know, 10, 12 years. You know, that interview practice is basically gone. So you're not used to talking about yourself in positive ways. You're not used to the stress of the interview. So, I mean, people come in and they'll come to the meetings and they'll talk, oh, I really screwed that one up, or oh, I know I got it. You know, so they make judgments based upon their side of the interview, and so there's so many things that revolve around the interview. That's the time where they're going to look at you. The employer's going to look at you. Hopefully, maybe a team's going to look at you, and they're going to say, is this person going to be an asset, or will this person be a liability? Not is they going to be a good employee, you know, or are they a good person, but they're going to take a look at, will they become an asset for the company?
Yes, yes. Well, there's two things I want to mention before I ask you to tell us some of the common mistakes that are being made. And this is something I really want people to hear when you're job seeking. One of them is that companies, HR professionals, and managers rate professionalism more than 90% of the best quality that they're looking for. Professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So that means to have a real solid approach to what you're doing that leaves out any kind of guesswork for, is this person confident? Is this person right? Do they know how to interact with people? And the list goes on. But most companies, most HR professionals rate that as the number one thing that they're looking for in an applicant. Now, with that being said, keep in mind that by the time you get a phone call for an interview, the actual interview, pretty much 80% of a decision has been made about you. And so now you have this wonderful window of opportunity to really show up and stand out. So keep in mind, a lot of the groundwork has already been done about you. They just want you now to show up. They want to see how you handle yourself and if you're really the right fit in person. So, Jeff, with that in mind, would you tell us what you think are some of the common mistakes people make at the interview?
Before we leave what you just said, I want to point out employers are receiving 80 to 250 applications, resumes for different positions. So you're absolutely right. You would not even be in the interview process if they hadn't screened you into that process. So you are already a winner. And now they want to get a firsthand look at you. And I want to point out that you also need to be looking, do a firsthand look at them and really use the interview, because one of the first thing that I was going to say is people go into an interview expecting to be interviewed instead of participating in the interview. As a candidate, you want to find out, the employer's looking to you, you want to find out, will this be a good fit? They want to find out, will this be a good fit for them? You need to find out, will this be a good fit for you? So you need to go in prepared to ask your professional questions so that you can find out, you know, if I land this, will I really, really like it? So you need to ask those questions around, all right, you know, is the culture going to be right for me? Where, you know, everything from, do I connect with my potential supervisor to, all right, what's my work environment going to be like? So you need to know what you want as a candidate, and you also have to have questions that relate to that to make sure that, you know, the person who's interviewing or the team that's interviewing will be able to give you a picture, because we think in pictures, a picture of what it's going to be like for you to be working there.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it is necessary to do that type of preparation, no doubt about it. I want to roll back a little bit about what you just said, because you said a term that's when they get to look at you. Well, they've gotten a look at you, and I say that in quotes, look, by what they've seen on your resume. Now, when we talk about look, that term is a term meaning not just your physical. I think how you show up is critical, but we're talking about how what's there going to be their perception of you once you are there and in that interview and once you leave, that look that's left with them. Let's start talking about, though, because it is relevant, about what to wear, because there is an appropriate thing to wear. And if your job has a certain level of professionalism, of course, I know I don't even have to say this, but I'm going to anyway. It just makes sense to make sure your attire is in it, as much as possible in its exactness to what the other people, how the other people dress at work. Sometimes we can overdo that, and sometimes we can underdo that. But I'm one of those people that even if you can go in somehow without anybody knowing, you kind of get a sneak peek what you see that environment looks like, that would be a good idea if you're in the area of in same city, state that you're applying for a job. Take a look around and see what do the people look like in that atmosphere so you look like you really are a great blend without any question. Now, another thing that happens, let's say that you're a younger person or even an older person and you're going to a fast food restaurant, let's say totally different than going to an energy company and applying for a managerial job there. One of the misconceptions is because a job is a certain thing, for instance, maintenance or going to work at McDonald's or something that may appear to be on the lower end of the totem pole, I don't really have to pay that much attention to how I look. And so I'm just going to wear jeans and maybe a T-shirt and my tennis shoes. And I just put a big strike over that. That is so not the way to approach it. You always want to go with a certain look that still says you are professional, regardless of how you may think the attire may be okay. So choose khakis or a simple skirt and a nice top or blouse that still has a professionalism consciousness to it. Why does it matter? Because you never know. Sometimes you get there and you think you're getting one job, and then they bump it up a little bit just based on the fact that you cared enough to look a certain way. It happens. You'll be asked to interview for a counter, and all of a sudden now they're thinking, you know, you look like you could be a lead here. Mm-hmm. So make sure you keep those things in mind. Always bump up that look a little bit. And also be as confident as possible. That the things that Jeff just shared lend itself to you going in feeling confident. You've done a little research. You looked and made a determination that, yeah, I think this would be a great fit for me. So walk tall. Hold your head up. Don't have this feeling of, I know I'm just one of so many applying for a job, and I don't feel like I'm going to be the one. Just zap that thinking out of your head. Whether you get the job or not, walk in like you think it's yours, like you believe that that's your job. And also, wear a great smile on your face from beginning to end.
Well, I tell employers when I'm doing workshops for employers, the interview is the best you're going to see of people because people dress up for the occasion. So if people show up in the jeans and tennis shoes, no matter what, then that's the best you're going to see of them. So from the candidate side, you want to, when I'm doing workshops, I always dress for my audience. You know, so, you know, business attire can be casual, but yes, last week I spoke at a Rotary group, and full suit, white shirt, tie, you know, to dress for your audience. So if you're entry level going into a fast food situation, dress for your audience. The audience may be the owner. The audience may be the manager. So you want to make sure that you're, again, as Silver has said, dressing so that you're at the same level as the person you're interviewing with, because you want to get their attention, their visual attention, as well as their emotional attention, because when you dress well, you'll feel good about yourself.
Absolutely. What's next on your list of common mistakes, Jeff?
Well, in the interview, people try to sell themselves, and you know, because a lot of times people are, you know, people really want to work. People want, you know, want the job. You know, could be they're just entering the workforce, or could be that they've just been laid off. People want to work, so they try to sell themselves during the interview rather than preparing themselves to be able to ask the right question, the questions they need to ask during the interview. So realize the job of the interview is not to sell yourself; it's to share information as to why you will be an asset rather than that liability. So, you know, that was really a kind of a combination of the first part. But the preparation for the interview is multiple preparations. You know, maybe do your homework and find somebody who's may have worked there, or find somebody who has a friend who's there, and find out about the culture, find out what they went through when they were hired. So mm-hmm. there's so many things for preparation. Write down, you go in with a written list of questions. You know, who would be my supervisor? What would I be? Would I be working on a team? Will I be working by myself? You want to find out what, where will I fit in? And then you want to show them how you will fit in, rather than, oh yeah, but you know, I'm going to be a great person. I joke during my workshops, you know, that employers lie. This is a great place to work. There's no stress.
Do they now?
You know, they try to, employers try to sell the candidate to come to work for them, but then the candidates do the same thing. Oh, any shift you want, I'll come work any shift. And I work 24/7 if you need. You know, because they want the job. Be yourself. Be real. You know, and make sure that you're addressing the issues that are going to be important to you. Because once you've got mm-hmm. the job, you've got to do it.
That's for sure. I want to add a few things to what you said, because I like the way you just explained selling yourself versus painting a really good picture of yourself. Employers are looking for you to be a fit. And so they're going to ask you certain questions that sometimes our perception of what the question being asked compels us to give the wrong answer. And let me tell you what those questions are. Tell me about yourself. Or they'll say, tell me some of your goals. Or where do you see yourself in a couple of years or 5 years from now? And it's very strange how when asked, tell me about yourself, oftentimes we don't feel like there's enough to talk about. So there's a list of preparation, a list in your list of things to prepare to write down why you're so fabulous and why you're so interesting and what your experiences have been, so that when you're asked that question, that it comes out of your mouth just confidently and fluidly. Who you are, what you've done, and why you would be an asset to that company. And then your goals. Keep in mind, if you're going to apply at a company, they're not let's say it's a large energy corporation. Well, they're not wanting to hear that in 5 years you want to be a pilot. So that would not be something that they feel is compatible, because that's saying to them you're not going to stay there. So be very cautious about saying what your professional goals are based on what company you're at, because they want to believe that you're going to go and grow with them. So make sure what you say is in alignment with what they are offering, and you'd like to go up the ladder there, and, you know, those type of answers. Where do you see yourself? Again, make sure that is an answer that really falls in line with what you know about that company or that industry. There's a couple of other things I want to say while they're on my mind, Jeff, so give me just one more minute.
Okay, you hear me wanting to say something. Yeah, I wanted to add something. But yes, because continue.
I know that sometimes we feel so nervous we can't always process words the way we want to. Key thing to remember when that's happening, you don't have to feel like you got to spit an answer out. pause, take a few seconds just to gather your thoughts together before you respond, because you don't want to have that look on your face that I really don't know how to answer that, or worse, you don't want to say, well, I don't know, I really hadn't thought about it, or I don't know that I even understand what you mean when you ask me that. There are key things you want to remember to say in any of those instances. If you need to buy some time, you just say something like, you know, I'm not familiar with that. Could you please explain? I wasn't aware of that about this company. Tell me about that. Or, you know, that's interesting. That's something I hadn't learned yet. And give them an opportunity to tell you more so that you can respond in a much better way.
And with that, before you take that response, say, you know, that's interesting. Let me think on that before I respond, and use that phrase. Let me think about that for a moment before I respond, because what is that demonstrating to them? You're just not reacting. You're a thoughtful person.
Right. Right.
You know. So
exactly.
You know, your language during that time is so important. And you're right. You want to find out more about the company. So, you know, that's why I was saying have your questions. And if they bring something up, they said, well, I've never experienced that before, as you said, or I've never learned that before. Let's go to the preparation, because you said something earlier that just really, you know, that's on my list here for preparation, is write down your successes, you know, whether it be from school, whether it be from work, whether it be from life. Have a success log and read that before you go in, the morning before you go into the interview. And the reason for doing this is say, oh my goodness, yeah, look, I forgot I did that. Oh, good. You're building your own self-confidence up by reading your success log. But it also then helps you to see, you know, when you're in the interview process, to create the pictures of what have you done in the past predicts what you will do in the future. So there are situational behavioral interview questions that will be asked by the interviewers. You know, tell me about a time when you had to work on a team. How did it work out for you? Tell me about a time when you had to work with an upset customer. How did you handle it? What was the result? So they're going to give you some situations, which can be challenges or just a strict situation. What was the action that you took, and what were the results? So they're called car stories or star stories. Star is situation, and car is for a challenge. So they're going to be asking those kinds of questions. Having your success log helps you to review those. And you may want to write out some car stories for yourself to help prepare for the interview.
And another thing you want to avoid, common mistake, is any bashing, any negativity about previous situations. And we all have them, and we probably have more of them than we'd really like to remember. But we want to make sure that if we are reflecting on any of that as well, based on the questions that Jeff just explained that you could be asked, you want to generalize rather than be specific about a particular environment, condition, or person. And by that I mean, let's say they say, how do you feel about working on a team, and have you ever worked on a project that you can tell me about? And in your mind, what comes to mind is that was the worst thing that could have ever happened, working on that project at that other company. You want to say something instead like, well, you know, sometimes working on a team can be a big challenge. Let me tell you some things I learned about it. I learned that it takes a lot of cooperation with everybody. Messages have to be clear for everybody to understand the direction, and blah, 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 stuff like that. So those were some of the things I was able to take away from working with team. When they work like that, I really enjoy it. You haven't said anything, but you really knew that the team you just left was, you know, a horror. But you don't ever want to start shaking your head like, wow, can I tell you a story that went on with my previous job or my previous boss? You want to avoid those things at all costs. Maybe there's a mountain of truth that goes along with it, But believe me, it's not going to impress the person that's listening to you. They're just going to see you as an applicant who's angry, who is disgruntled, and who is going to bring some negativity into that workplace.
And that goes back to what is the image, what is the perception that you are leaving them with? And again, you want to maintain that professional, no matter what level, entry level or executive level, you want to maintain that professional image.
That's absolutely right.
One of the things that I, you know, as far as preparation goes, I also wanted to talk about what do you do when you're sitting in the car before you walk in? You know, you've done your preparation, you've worked on your car stories, you've reviewed your resumes, you have your references with you in paper form, and then you're sitting there, you're about 10 to 15 minutes early, and unfortunately, most people tend to think about past interviews that didn't work out. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to imagine that you're sitting in the car and suddenly the doors burst open. Doesn't matter where they're at. It could be a factory. It could be a retail shop. It could be a high-rise office suite. The front doors open up, and suddenly two people roll out a red carpet, and they're rolling it straight to your car. And then after the red carpet has been laid out, suddenly two trumpeters come outside the door, and they go, "Welcome to our company." They're excited about, you know, welcoming you to their company, to this situation, because you may be their next employee. So you want to play a game with your mind that they are excited to see you, and that will excite you in a positive way to say, this is going to be a great situation. So
that's a wonderful, wonderful visualization. I did have visualize on my list of things. It wasn't quite as wonderful as yours, but yes, that's exactly what you should do. I think that's awesome.
And that's just the beginning part. You also, you know, when you're preparing for the interview, yes, you want to visualize. I in working with young salespeople for sales interviews, I would say, all right, you've spoken to this person on the phone. Now, what do they look like? He said, what do you mean? I haven't seen them. I said, well, tell me what they look like. And sure enough, they'd come back. They said, well, by golly, the person, you know, looked like this, and they kind of look like what I thought. So you want to picture who you're going to be interviewing with, and based upon your homework on the company and you think you'd like to work there, you want to picture them making you an offer, reaching across the table, shaking hands, and saying, when can you start?
Absolutely. Well, since you just mentioned that, they've walked through those doors and they're headed for the interview, let's talk about a few of other particulars. You just mentioned a handshake. That's a good start as well. Typically, you're going to be sitting in a waiting area and they are going to call your name. Sometimes they may walk you right in when you arrive. You may have to kind of instinctively determine whether you should do a handshake. Not everybody does that. Some interviewers are just going to open their door or give you a gesture to indicate to have a seat there, and you don't want to attempt to force a handshake if it didn't seem like that was one of their protocols. Typically, it works very well as an introduction, but just kind of watch how that's going to go. Have a great attitude, and I mean looking alert, something that when a person looks across at you, they can see or sense a type of energy. Sit up straight and even lean slightly forward as opposed to leaning back and relaxing in a chair. Most times you never want to do that. Sit up so that your back is straight and so that you're, again, leaning forward and there's that energy that says that you're interested. Make eye contact with the person that is talking to you. Another thing that comes to mind that I know is challenging because I've said this 100,000 times to people, put that cell phone away, not visible, not accessible, away.
And turn it, and better yet, turn it off. Turn it off and leave it in the
car. Absolutely, it should be off. Absolutely. Better idea is to leave it in the car so that there is no temptation to interact with your cell phone.
That's right. I know
it's difficult. Employers are telling us statistically that it's one of the worst nightmares in the workplace right now is how attached people feel to their cell phones. So during the interview, definitely don't have it available for you to pick up and see what's going on it. It is totally unprofessional, and I could pretty confidently say that you're going to just knock yourself off the list. You'll definitely be left out. Now, I know some are saying, but they pick up their phone while they're doing the interview. Well, you're in a different role. They can do that. They can say, excuse me, while I take this call. They can say, excuse me, I need to respond to this text, because it's a different role in the interview. For you to do it as a potential employee, it is not a good step to take. So don't do it.
In fact, on that note, you know, if the phone rings, do you need to take that is a great question, because, you know, they may be handling, you know, a major contract and something's going on, and all of a sudden they see it's their attorney talking about the contract. Well, do you need to take that? Would you mind? You know, it'll just be a minute. It shows that you respect what they're doing, because if it's not important, they're going to say, no, just let it ring. So, again, certain language that you can pick up. You know, Silver, you said that as when you walk through those doors, as soon as you walk through those doors, realize you're going to be looked at. And I've had employers come back to me and say, well, you know what we do is we go out and talk to our receptionist and say, number one, how do they treat? What are your impressions? Because if you walk in as you know with the wrong attitudes, you know, towards this person, I say this is just the receptionist, you know, and treat him or her as such, that will get back to the hiring team, you know, because some employers will actually go to the front and say, no, you know, how did they treat you? What is your impression? So realize as soon as you walk in that door, you're going to be looked upon.
Yes, yes. I want to mention a couple of other things during the actual interview process as well. Those were good points, Jeff. I want to talk about the question answer. I want to talk about the Q&A that goes on. When the interview is happening, again, sometimes the nervousness or the stress will cause a person not to elaborate as much as they possibly could. Remember to elaborate on answers. Remember that they need a fuller perspective of you and what you did at other jobs and how you interacted with people and how you feel about your professionalism and success and you know, the work ethics, and the list goes on with that. So when you're asked something, think of a complete picture, not just a few words that describe whatever you feel is a sufficient answer. If a picture comes to mind that you can explain something, you know, if they say to you, how did you feel about that last company that you worked for? Well, I thought it was a great situation. I'm just ready to move on now. Well, for you, that sounds like a complete answer. But a complete answer, a big picture answer would be, well, you know, I was with ABC Company for the last 5 years, and some of the roles that I played there was assistant manager, and then I went to manager. And at that point where I wanted and needed to grow, I realized I had pretty much gotten to the ceiling with that company. So because of my desire to grow, I gained some great skills in that area. I learned well how to work with people. I was given a lot of responsibility, in which I handled well. But right now I know that I can grow, and so I'm here applying for your company, looking at expanding my opportunities in management.
You know,
now, that sounds like a lot to say, but believe me, you're going to be the one when you leave that they're thinking, wow, what an awesome person. So answer your questions as fully as possible. Have somebody practice with you. Interview questions are available online. So print those. Sit down with two or three people before you go, two or three different people, so that you can pretend to answer questions and ask them to push you to give more information, even though most friends or family are going to say, oh, that sounded fine. Ask them to push you to say more so that it sounds fuller and more complete and more information that, again, helps them see more about your personality, more about your intellect, more about your insight, more about what you're thinking as far as what you want out of a company and why you're there applying for their job.
You know, you said something very important. Well, you said lots of things that are very important, but that just triggered something for me, which is, you know, nervousness. You're going to be nervous, and you may forget something. So take notes. And once again, ask permission. Do you mind if I take some notes? And so put down a question. If they're asking you a two-part question, make sure you write down both parts of the question so that you're answering fully and not just partially. And that picture that, you know, Silver, you mentioned, well, all of a sudden they ask you a question, and all of a sudden that picture comes into mind. Just write a little note that will remind you of what that picture was in your head that you want to be able to share. Because, Silver, you think that I think the way you think, and I think you think the way I think. And it may not necessarily be true. So we want to make sure, and you can't read my mind, so you want to put down a note for yourself. Make sure you talk about, oh, that time that I had to lead the entire team. Oh, my gosh, and I was so nervous, but I was able to do it. And they believed in me, and they let me lead the team. So make those notes so you remember to finish your thoughts and make sure that they see, once again, you are an asset.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good point that you just said, and I've said that too in many of my presentations, that people, when we're talking, we think they understand us because we think they think like we think, and that's just a fallacy. They're not often even processing information the way we think that they are when we say it. That's one of the reasons why we have to elaborate as well as we possibly can. So in Jeff's example of me thinking like, you know, what he just said about he thinks that I think like he thinks, people do think that when they're talking to somebody, and that's just not always the case. Present as much information as possible. Another thing I want to mention is showing responsiveness and acknowledgement. When these interviewers are talking with you or the interview team, it's really good to nod, to make eye contact, to give the, yes, okay, sure, that's yes. Let them know that you're hearing what they're saying. That's really important. And another important thing, if they say something or present something that you really don't get it, don't pretend to understand. The best thing to do, confidence shows in a better way, if you say, you know, again, I'm not so familiar with that. Can you tell me more about that? Remember, again, as Jeff mentioned earlier, it's okay to ask them questions as well, because maybe they said something that you're thinking, oh, no, that's not quite what I had in mind about working here. So you say, oh, yeah, could you explain some more about what you mean about no days off during the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's something that, you know, you didn't realize that you were going to have to be at work regardless of, you know, what holiday it is because of the position that you're taking. So there are things that, you know, if you can just put yourself at ease enough to realize you're really just having a really great conversation with the interviewer. They want that from you. Most of them don't really love doing this. So
most of them aren't even prepared. You know, most of them haven't been trained on formal interviewing. So a lot of it, you know, may be flying by the seat of their pants. So you coming in, showing them, you know, you're ready for anything that they throw at you, that again leaves them with a good image of you.
It's a plus, no doubt about it. So don't pretend to understand something that you don't. It's okay to it's not a good thing to say, well, I don't know what you mean by that. Better to say, could you explain that I'm not familiar with that. Can I hear more about that so that you get a clearer picture? And again, even if it wasn't what you wanted to hear after they explain it, avoid having a negative look or responding negatively. Just nod it with the understanding that you got it once they explained it to you, because you can make your decisions about your job later if they do decide that they want you and you decided, I don't want this job. But in their interview, you just still want to avoid, because you never know. You might be back there for another interview for a different job. So be careful, be cautious in that way. I want to get toward Jeff, are there a couple of things you'd like to interject before we talk about winding
up
the interview?
Sure, because, you know, many times, you know, we're looking at 1, 2, maybe even 3 interviews. I know one of my employers who interviews 5 times. So you want to be ready to come back again. So you want to leave with them wanting you to come back again.
Yes, for sure. Yes, for sure. Well, at some point, that interview is going to lend itself toward getting to the end of it, and that can be a very uncomfortable feeling, because they haven't said to you, we'd like to have you come work for us. They haven't said to you, you look like the exact candidate that we've been looking for. Don't expect that in the majority of cases, because typically they are looking at other people, have appointments with other people. Whether they think you may be the fave or not, they still are going to typically interview the people they have on their books to interview. So don't walk away feeling like I must have done something wrong, or I you know, didn't say what they wanted to hear. All of that self-talk could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. If you do many of the things that we've told you today, that we suggested to you today, chances are you put forth a winning interview, and they're still just in their evaluation process. And another thing to keep in mind, oftentimes the person that's interviewing you may not be the person that's hiring you. And so they have to give feedback to the team of people or whomever that may be making an additional, important in the decision-making of that, which may mean another interview. So don't look for being hired on the spot. Sometimes that happens, and when it does, that's awesome. But don't look for that, and don't let it make you leave the interview feeling insecure or like you did some things wrong or you didn't say what you needed to say. Leave confidently, and that will be a time, again, where you can stand, rise from your seat, make the gesture to extend your hand in a handshake. And again, it's kind of an awkward moment for you, so you say something like, you know, please let me know if there's anything else you need from me. I really appreciate your time, and I'd appreciate the interview. And then you make a nice, pleasant, confident exit. Yes, Jeff.
Well, before you do the exit, you know, make sure you ask the question, now, what is the next step from your side? Because you want to find out, well, you know, yes, we have 2 other people to interview. Then we're going to narrow it down so that we have a second interview. So you want to find out from them, what are your next steps? Because you want to be asking yourself that when you get out to the car, which I want to point out in a little bit. So you're aware that, okay, it's going to be, oh, goodness, we have this people, and it's going to take at least a week there. It's going to be 2 weeks. So you're not anticipating, oh, when I hear from them the next day. You want to know what the facts are. You know, all right, we'll be getting back to you by the end of next week as to what, you know, where we are with the hiring process. And so that you know, okay, today is Tuesday. The end of next week is, you know, a week from Friday. So I should be hearing by then. So then you can follow up with, you have time, reason. You have time to follow up, and you're not going to be calling them daily. Say, well, what's going on? What's going on? Again, maintaining that professionalism.
One of the things you want to think about, Jeff is telling you how to close a gap in your lack of understanding of where you are in the process. I think there's a question that you can ask that will help you. What Jeff has said will help you. But what you really want to know is how long you need to hold out for that job. And so what you want to ask them is, may I ask you when you expect to hire someone for this job? Can you tell me when you expect to have somebody in position?
Or to be making the decision.
Typically.
Yeah. When will you be making the decision?
They know.
Mm-hmm.
They know when they want to have someone on board by. Typically, they do. They'll give you, it may be ballpark, but it'll be close to what they're actually trying to achieve. They may tell you, like if today your interview is today, and they say, well, we expect to have somebody on board by June 1. Then that tells you how much time in between. And that means, too, they're typically going to be working pretty quickly. So that'll give you a gauge for how you follow up with them,
That's
what
right.
you need to do. And there are some things you need to do. There are some things you need to do. You need to thank them. So if you walk away with a business card, and you can ask in that close of those closing minutes, may I have a business card? They'll give you one if they have one. And you just immediately want to thank them for their time and taking the time to interview you. And you thought it was a great opportunity and a great company. Please, again, let me know if there's anything that additional that you need from me. Have a great day. Don't get too emotional about anything that you may be feeling. This is also a time when you're thinking you should have said something that you didn't say in the interview. You can say, oh, Mr. Johnson, there was another thing I'd like to mention. And then you say what it was. And let it be that. It might be a statement about a job or something you thought was a plus that will help you, but that would be the time to mention that as well. Again, you don't want to rewrite a cover letter or anything. This is just a thank you note, but that's the opportunity for you, again, to hit any highlights that you may have missed that you thought you could have said during the actual interview.
That's right. So let's walk out. We've walked out the door. We're in our car now. Now I want you to pull out a sheet of paper, and I want you to write down these four questions that you should be asking yourself. Because we typically are our own worst critics, the first question is, what did I do well? And then and write down the answer for this. You know, what did you do well in there? And there are lots of things you did well. Now, question number two is, if you had to do it over, what would you do differently? This helps you to mentally evaluate, but also mentally prepare for the next one. Oh, I would have known this about the company, or oh, I would have had all my references on paper so I could just hand them to them. Whatever it is, you know, and you want to make sure, what would I do differently? And then question number three is, what is their reason to hire me? How do they see you as an asset to their company? Did you find that out? And then question number four is, what are your next steps? And of course, the first thing is that thank you note. Now, some companies are, you know, some folks are recommending both an email and a physical note. The email, because it's immediate, and then the handwritten note so that it shows, once again, that professionalism of saying thank you. And also getting in, you know, I wasn't able to give you this, you know, I had forgotten that to mention this when we were there, and I just wanted to make certain that you know. But again, short, sweet, to the point, and thank you. So mm-hmm. those are the four steps when you get to your car, the four questions you want to ask yourself. What did you do well? If you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? What is their reason to hire you? And what are the reasons? Could be multiple. And then, you know, what are your next steps? Because there are multiple steps.
Yes. And another thing I want to mention while, you know, before we wrap this up is that you're going to be screaming on the inside for updates. You're going to want to know what's going on. Be sure you do that again with the utmost caution. You interview with Mr. Johnson today. Mr. Johnson said to you, we're going to hire somebody by the 1st. I would wait a week from today. I wouldn't touch base again after the email and dropping the note in the mail. The note basically is another reminder. They'll get that in a few days this week. And then they'll, you know, that's a nice personal touch. But wait until Monday, and you can either do it by phone call or an email. If you do it by phone call, be prepared for them to tell you you weren't the one, if that's the case. You don't want that phone call to be awkward for you. You want to be able to, again, present as much professionalism and pleasantry as possible if they tell you they selected another candidate. Thank you so much for interviewing me. I really did appreciate it. Something like that to end the call. If you email, you want to make sure you don't say, did you hire somebody, Mr. Johnson, did you hire somebody for that job? No.
Right. Yeah, the email is
simply
a thank you.
No, I'm talking about an update email. Dear
Mr.
Johnson, last Monday I interviewed with you for the managerial position in your security department. I'm following up today to ask you, have you filled the position? Thank you in advance for your response. And then you sign it. Respectfully, Lawrence Marshall. So how you word things, they will be happy to respond to a very professionally worded email. So you can know either to go on, or they'll say something like, we're still interviewing people, but they will respond. But if you say, did you hire somebody, you didn't give a salutation, not good morning, Mr. Johnson, or anything. It's just not very likely. They ignore that. The message is too clear. Oh, that wasn't a very professional way of approaching me. All of those things send a kind of messaging about you that, again, we have to really be on our toes and thinking on our toes about how we're presenting ourselves as a potential candidate now or later.
And, again, that's a reason for asking for their business card, because the person interviewing you may not have been the person who set up the interview. So you want to make sure you have their email address so that you can communicate that, as well as the language can be, you know, well, what's the status of your hiring? You know, where are we at in the process? All ways of finding out, okay, need to find out. You don't want to find out, did they hire someone? You want to find out, where are we at? Because so many times, I've heard it from employers. You know, we wanted to hire somebody. We interviewed all these people, but all of a sudden we had this emergency come up, and I had to focus my energy over here. So you just want to, again, keep your face in front of them, that positive, smiling face, and just ask what is the status, because something may have happened on their side that they couldn't move as quickly as they said they were going to.
And people, please keep in mind, that happens a lot. So they don't need to kick you to the curb. It's just that certain priorities sometimes do come into play, and they can't move along as quickly as they had hoped. So I hope you've gained a lot from this information. I know that sometimes just having a couple more key things to do or say or think about can actually flip the script and have you employed before you know it. At least that's been our hope today. Jeff, I want to thank you for all of your insight and experience and the motivation that you provide. Now, before we wrap up, though, I want to mention something that I'm collaborating with Jeff on coming up in just a few weeks. And if you're listening and you're in the Milwaukee area and you would like to enjoy a really wonderful seminar, I've collaborated with Jeff. He has a great book out that's called Your Combination for Success, and he's going to be talking about how to unlock your success, and I'm going to be contributing a part that talks about success is a journey. It's going to be exciting. We're going to provide some materials, tools, have a lot of role playing, a lot of fun and exercises for you that really will help you walk away with some renewed, restored motivation about your business or your success, or even if you're working in a job, there's things that you can take away as an employee or as a manager that will definitely help you feel more polished as a result of being in this seminar. So it's going to be on June 3rd. Again, it's in Milwaukee. I am going to make sure I put that link on the Blog Talk Radio website as well in today's show. But if you'd like additional information, Jeff, why don't you give out your website information, and you can check either one of us out on Facebook. My information is there about the seminar as well. There's two sessions available, and I hope, again, if you're in the Milwaukee area, that you will make it a must to be there.
You're absolutely right. It's a morning and afternoon session. And first, an email. You can email me direct, jeff.thewordpercent@gmail.com, or the website is, of course, www.perc-ent.com. perc-ent.com.
Excellent. It's going to be great, people, so if you can make it, there's limited seating, but we would absolutely love to have you there, meet you in person. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, and I, again, hope this information has been educational and empowering for you if you're looking for a job, being considered for a promotion, looking for a promotion after your dream job. There are things you can do that can make you the standout. So I hope that you can take this information and you can make it happen. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm going to look forward to talking to you next time. Have a great Monday.